It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Today we are going to start a new book called Book of Mark. This book is called Gospel of Mark, and this book was written, the first one. There are four Gospels, but the Mark is the one first was written. And they say it might be written AD 55, between AD 55 and AD 60. And the writer is Mark. Now, this Mark, if you remember, this Mark is the one Barnabas and Paul had the problem, and his mother's name, I think, is Mary. Peter was the one who gave the message of salvation to Mark, and Mark got saved through Peter. So Peter says in his writing, Mark, my son, just like Paul says to Timothy. Okay, so we're going to start from the verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
When you say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark is trying to say, I am writing this gospel or good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And then he's starting verse 2, as it is written in the prophets. In those days, they didn't have the chapters and verses in the Bible. Prophet is Prophet Isaiah. And you can go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. That's the prophecy is written and Mark is recording in his book, but he did not say book of Isaiah.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Okay, now go Mark chapter 1, verse 3.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
So, looks familiar verse. So he's recorded, or he quoting from this Isaiah. And so, all these writers, they have to be familiar with the Bible, otherwise he cannot write a book. So he knew a little bit history and prophets, and so he's writing to let us know about Jesus Christ and the salvation through Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 4.
John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins.
Now here is saying, when somebody reads the verse 4, he says he was baptizing in the wilderness. If the person did not read the verse 5, they are going to say, you know, that's why we have to sprinkle, because in the wilderness there won't be any water, so we can have sprinkling baptism. But verse 5 is very clearly says he was baptizing in Jerusalem, where all people were baptized, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. So it was not like a wilderness, but he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Now here we read, all people came and they were baptized for forgiveness of their sins. Let's read the verse 4 one more time.
John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
See, preach the baptism of repentance, so they will have the forgiveness for their sins. Now, many people today, they said, we don't need a baptism because baptism doesn't save. But John the Baptist started like this, you repent and be baptized. If they don't repent, there is no baptism. And today people are baptizing people just for the name's sake, to get them to their church congregation or for the number. People do not repent, even though they are baptizing children 5 years old and 6 years old. So here we see the baptism is called baptism of repentance. If you don't repent, you don't baptize. And he says, when they're baptizing people, after they repent, because of their forgiveness of their sins. So, in short, if somebody knows about Jesus Christ and say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, people take the scripture in book of Acts chapter 16 or book of Acts chapter 8. And there we read, the jailer said, what should I do? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. People just take that scripture and say, see, there is no baptism written. But the same night, he took Paul to his home, and the same night, he and his household were baptized. So it's not like just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that's it and go now your way. Even that Enoch was traveling in chariot, Philip goes, gives him the lecture. He was reading the book of Isaiah, but he starts from Isaiah and he finished up to salvation and water baptism. And when the water came close by, he says, is that water his hindrance? Can I baptize in that water? He said, if you believe. So he said, if you believe, then the man said, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then he was baptized. So the baptism and salvation is very connected to each other. If somebody says, I believe Jesus Christ, but I don't want to be baptized, that is stubbornness. Go to the Mark chapter 16, verse 16.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
See now, he says if you believe, then baptize, you'll be saved. But if you don't believe, you will be condemned, damned, or put into hell. Now somebody says, it's not clear. It is very clear. Believe the gospel, believe the doctrine, believe the teaching of Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. And Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 28, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says when you're preaching the gospel, you baptize them. It didn't say, just go and preach the gospel, and if they want to baptize, baptize. If they don't have desire to baptize, leave them alone. It's not like that. They believe, then tell them about water baptism, and they will be baptized, and they will be saved. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, then you'll obey me. A person doesn't obey Jesus Christ, that means he doesn't love him and he doesn't even believe in him. Now, I'll give the Luke chapter 7. When you read the Mark chapter 1 verse 5, it says many people came and got baptized. But what the Luke says about, let's read Luke chapter 7 verse 29 and 30.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
They reject the counsel of God. Who? Pharisees. So who wants to be baptized? John is saying, God told me to baptize. You repent, be baptized, and you'll be saved. Many people listened to the John the Baptist preaching. They repented, they were baptized. And they recognize our God is righteous. What does it mean? Our God is a righteous God. He gives some rules and regulations. Now, when you are born again, child of God, you have to see, if this is the righteousness of God, so I'm going to fulfill the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, when he came to the John the Baptist, he said, why are you taking baptism from me? You should be baptizing me. What did he say? He said, I want to do the righteousness of God, or I want to do the will of God. So the baptism is the will of God, and when we take the baptism, we're fulfilling the righteousness of God. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, verse 6.
And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey.
Now, many people have many different theory on this. They say he ate locusts and honey, and some people say locust is a tree and a fruit. He might have ate some fruits or seed, or there are some locust trees and things like that. And some people say he might have ate the real locust. But we don't care what he ate. That's not important. The life he lived, a clean and holy life. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 17, John the Baptist's father is prophesying about his son.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
So this is what the mission John the Baptist was supposed to do. But many people are thinking similarity with John. He was clothed with the camel's hair and he had the belt. And so they say this is the same way the Elijah was also wearing the similar clothes. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8.
And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite.
So, Elijah having the similar clothes and similar kind of belt. But the important thing is, we are seeing that John the Baptist has some kind of spirit of Elijah. Means boldness and strong voice. And we read in another man like Elisha, he wanted double portion of his blessing. So he got it. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 and to 15.
He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.
See, spirit of Elijah is resting on spirit of Elisha. John the Baptist also worked like Elijah's spirit. He was bold and he was doing the prophecy like Elijah. So we are saying not only similarity with clothes, but his work was just like Elijah. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, verse 7.
And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
John the Baptist says, I did not come here to make my name big. I just came here to proclaim about Jesus Christ. That someone coming after me, he's greater than me, he's coming from heaven, and I am just here proclaiming and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not even worthy to bend down and unloose his shoes or sandals. So he says, I'm nobody. He is the one great. In book of St. John, he says, he should be increased and I should be decreased. So he was not a proud man. Mark 1:9.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Okay, now this is a little bit complicated, but I'm trying to make it as much as clear. But the Mark does not say word fire. He just says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But if you read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and Luke chapter 3, verse 16, please read.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Luke 3:16.
John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
But the fire is a trial and hardship. Once the person is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's the time your trial starts. Just like Jesus, when he took a baptism, and that's the time Spirit take him to the wilderness for testing. So as long as the people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, and I love Jesus, but I'm not ready yet to take a baptism. What does it mean? They're not really ready. They're not believing Jesus Christ to follow him. So here the word of God is saying, if you really believe Jesus Christ, then you are going to obey him into water baptism. Now here Jesus Christ is in our example. Jesus Christ doesn't have to be baptized. But he came to John the Baptist, and he came when the John was saying, why you want me to be baptized? You should be baptizing me. He said, I want you to baptize me, so I want to fulfill the righteousness of God. This is the will of God. And that's why he came to be baptized. Let's read some other Gospels. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
In Mark chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That's what he saw. John the Baptist saw, Jesus saw. He said, the Spirit like a dove. But the Matthew saying, what Matthew is saying? I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now see, the Spirit like a dove and the Spirit of God like a dove. That's a little different. Many people got confused thinking this was when Jesus Christ received the baptism and the Spirit came upon him. They are thinking he got the Holy Spirit. Why they say? Because Luke says so. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22.
Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Okay, now here we see, Luke says, when he came out of the water and he was praying. This is the only recording in book of Luke. When he took baptism, he was praying. And while he was praying, the Spirit of God came upon him. But the Luke says it was the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to make it a little clear. It is a Holy Ghost, means the third person of Trinity. Or is the Spirit of God, or what it is. So in book of Matthew we read, it says it was the Spirit of God. Now if you read in the book of St. John, let's read. St. John chapter 1, verse 32 to 34.
And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
Okay, now John also said, I saw the Spirit. Mark says there was a Spirit. Matthew said that was the Spirit of God. Luke said there was the Holy Ghost. Now, what Jesus says, go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Now here Jesus Christ comes to the synagogue after receiving the baptism and filling with the Spirit of God. And he comes there and takes the book from the Isaiah 61 and start reading. And when he start reading like that, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In the Old Testament, if you take like Moses, Elijah, or any other prophet, if you read even the Judges, when they receive the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they always say Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord. Never use the word that like a third person of Trinity. Now, why is that? Because the Word of God says the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Let's go to the book of St. John, chapter 7, and start reading from verse 37 to 39.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
See, it is very clear. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Because that Holy Spirit is called Promise Holy Spirit. It was promised to in book of Joel. It was promised through Jesus Christ that Jesus said, I will go and I will send the Holy Spirit. Saint John says, I am baptizing you with the water, but someone comes after me. He will baptize you what? Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit baptism was not yet given, and this is the proof. God's Son, he had the, Matthew says, he received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord or Spirit of Christ, they are always together. You cannot separate Father and Son. They were always together. Until he died on the cross. And for the split second, the Father was separated from him. But he was always together. Not only that, I want to prove it to you. The Old Testament people never received this Spirit because he says the Holy Spirit was not yet given because who was the giver of the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ. He says the John the Baptist, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Jesus Christ was not yet glorified, so the Holy Spirit cannot be given. Now, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and start reading from verse 10 to 12. And here he says what kind of spirit the other Old Testament people received.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched it diligently, and who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Okay, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. In whom? The people who were prophesying. Who were prophesying? Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets. They were talking about Jesus Christ, but they didn't know. They were just preaching. But here he's saying they had the Spirit of Christ. How does Peter know this? Let's read. It's explained there.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
See? Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven to the church, Peter and all apostles, so they got the revelation. And God revealed to them because the Holy Spirit was not yet given, according to St. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. So he says those people, all those Old Testament people, received the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ. And so Jesus Christ also received the Spirit of the Lord or Spirit of God. So somebody would say, Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit. Many preachers will preach and what they say, Jesus Christ was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he did miracles. Otherwise, he cannot do miracles without the Holy Spirit. Bible says, Jesus Christ, he had the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit was given to us in measure, but to Son, he was in fullness of the Spirit. So, not only that, Jesus Christ was also an Old Testament prophet. Now, somebody say, oh, he is the one in the New Testament. Even the history is in New Testament, that doesn't mean he is a New Testament prophet. Jesus Christ is the Old Testament prophet because the Old Testament started by the blood of bulls and goats. And so Jesus Christ started a New Testament when? When he died on the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus Christ was called the Old Testament prophet because he is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. To his people, he came as a prophet. Let's see in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and 18. God says, and Moses said, Lord, I cannot work. Send somebody, another prophet. And God says, okay, I'll do that.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Now this is Moses saying to the people. Okay, let's read what God is saying.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Okay, now this is what the word of God is saying. Jesus Christ came as a prophet. And that's why he came to the Old Testament, means he came to the children of Israel first. He did not go around the world, because his mission was to the Jewish people. And that's why he came. And after that, he even his disciple, he said, do not go anywhere, go to the lost sheep of Israel. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then you'll be my witness around the world. But now you go to the lost sheep of Israel. So here we see Jesus Christ was a prophet. First ministry was the prophet's ministry. When he died on the cross of Calvary, the word of God says he took his own blood and he went to the most holy place in heaven, and now he's a priest. Now he's a mediator and priest for us in heaven. And then he's coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's a prophet, he's the priest, and he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So point I'm making, Jesus Christ, when he was baptized and came out of the water, and when you see the Spirit, or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the Lord, it was not the third person of Trinity, Holy Spirit. That's what I was trying to make it clear. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 11.
And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now see, Jesus Christ, when he was born, there was no voice coming from heaven. This is my beloved Son. When the shepherd came to see, there was no voice they heard. This is my beloved Son. The voice man came, there was no voice. But why the voice came after he took the baptism? Let's read the Matthew chapter 3, verse 15.
And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
So when he comes to the John the Baptist, John the Baptist did not want to baptize him. He said, let it be, because I want to fulfill the righteousness of God. So when he obeyed into the water baptism, and he obeyed the word of God, when you obey the word of God, you are beloved Son. If your child is not listening to you, it's not your favorite son. So favorite son listen to mother or father. So when Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so he has to obey God. If he doesn't obey God, then he cannot be called the Son of God. So if he would have refused the water baptism, he was not a sinner. He doesn't have to be baptized, but he took the man's body. So every man is coming to be baptized. So he went to obey the commandment of God. And as soon as he obeyed the commandment of God, the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.